20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
It's Saturday. It's Pack-A-Day, your 24-7, 365-day-a-year Pack-A-Day Podcast. Hope you're enjoying your weekend on this third weekend in January. My goodness, the time is flying by. But we're going to be trying to fly by here in the next 20 to 25 minutes on Pack-A-Day. I'm Jake Turner for PackersTalk.com. And joining me, of course, is my partner in crime, 32 years in the business, at BobMcGinnFootball.com, writer Mark Eckel. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good, Jake. How are you?
Fantastic. You know, always a great pleasure to talk about some Packer football. And currently, our commander-in-chief himself, a Pack-A-Day, put us on the end-of-the-year review, and we are going to dive into the offensive line. Now, we are not going to bring up anything regarding anything about coaching candidates or anything because, I mean, you just never know what's going to happen in Packerland. So, but we do have some big news coming up out here. According to Tom Silverstein, Frank Zignetti, the quarterback's coach, very cocky in his own way, has been fired from the Green Bay Packers and will move on. But that's not the biggest news. It is offensive line coach James Campen who said goodbye to Green Bay and went to Cleveland after 20 years in the organization and 15 years as a Packers coach. Mark, what does the absence of James Campen do?
Listen, when you hire a new head coach, there's going to be staff coaching changes. And let's be honest, the Green Bay Packers the last 2 years were not a good football team.
No.
Slice it, dice it, make all the excuses that you want, but they were not a good football team. So I don't care who stays and who goes, to be honest. I mean, it's all up to Matt LaFleur. Now, it's his team. It's his coaching staff. Obviously, he didn't think a whole lot of James Campen, or he wouldn't have let him even interview with the Browns. So I got to put all my trust in the new head coach, and whatever he wants his staff to look like, that's what it's going to look like. So if he didn't want – obviously, there's some guys he wants to stay. From reports, he's keeping the running backs coach, Ben Sermons. He's keeping the tight ends coach. This is going to sound crazy. I don't think the quarterback coach on this team with this staff is going to be very important, because I kind of think Nathaniel Hackett, the new offensive coordinator, is going to be a quasi-quarterback coach as well. And LaFleur is going to be a quasi-quarterback coach as well. So I kind of think, now offensive line, they apparently have some guys in mind to take Campen's place. But I think they're going to run a different system as well. I think they're going to get away from the old, what did they call it, the zone blocking, whatever, that they ran under Mike McCarthy and Joe Philbin and all that. So
all the time.
So they're going to want their own guy teaching their own system. So again, James Campen, he did a nice job, and I'm sure he'll do a nice job with the Cleveland Browns. But it was, just like it was time for Mike McCarthy to move on, it's time for James Campen to move on, and the Packers have to stop looking backwards and start looking forward.
And that's what, you got to give a lot of credit first off. I mean, this is what we have expected from a new head coach. This is why you did not want a retread of a previous head coach to come in, because now you got this one, 39 years young, coming in and getting the ability to actually create a new philosophy, because that's what he wanted to bring. He said this in his press conference, and he's going to bring it here. So whatever offensive line coach he decides to bring in, Packer fans, you're just going to have to deal with it. But, Mark, they are still going to have some very good talent still on this team. You got David Bakhtiari, who was in highest pass blocking grade among tackles, according to Pro Football Focus.
In spite of that, he's still
a good player.
No, I'm the most anti-Pro Football Focus guy.
Okay, no, that's fair.
I don't trust anything they say, but I watch with my own eyes. Bakhtiari might be the best left tackle in the game today. He's right there.
No doubt.
The best, he's in the top five.
No doubt.
Top three.
No doubt.
Anyway, yeah.
Second would be Andrew Whitworth for the Rams.
He's very good as well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Lane Taylor, if he could stay healthy, coming back as well. Corey Linsley, a very good center. This one is interesting to me, though, because I felt like he did the best job at right guard. Lucas Patrick, in the last couple of games, Lucas Patrick actually did an admirable job off that right guard side that Byron Bell could not do. Justin McCray did horribly with. And that is something very intriguing going forward in that right guard position. But also, it's Brian Bulaga. And Mark, would the Packers actually send Bulaga off?
I don't know. That's, you know, to me, that's the most interesting thing about the offensive line. And I agree with you that 60% of the line is fine. Mm-hmm. You got the best, like I said, one of the, if not the best, one of the top three left tackles in the game. Corey Lindsey, I think, is a top five or six.
At least, Mark. I mean,
player.
Come on. I mean this.
I don't want to be Mr. Superfan and think every player on the Packers is the greatest. But
No.
Very good center. Lane Taylor, solid. He's a solid left guard. You can, again, believe me, you can do a lot worse than Lane Taylor at left guard. And he's signed. Yeah. He's under contract. So 60%. You're good. Right guard, yes. Patrick did okay, but I think he's a. I think you want him back as a versatile backup. I don't think you want him to start. I think they will draft or sign a new right guard. Brian Bulaga. That's the question. That's what to me one of the top five questions of this offseason. He's a very good. Had a great career with them. Number one pick out of Iowa. Had a nice career, but. I mean, you can really only count on him for 10 to 12 games a year every year. Now, he gets hurt. He's starting to, I mean, the wear and tear on his body from all those years of playing and playing hard and playing well, it's just starting to take its toll on him now. And see, I think the Packers should draft a right tackle at either 32, I'm assuming it's 32 if the Saints win a Super Bowl, whatever that Saints pick is, 30, 31, 32, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think either that pick or 44 in the second round. One of those two picks, I think, could go toward a right tackle who maybe, if you do keep Brian Bulaga, you play the kid at right guard for a year, and then eventually move him out to right tackle when Bulaga can't do it any longer. I personally, would try to milk one more year out of Brian Bulaga, but if the Packers decide that it's time and they save the $5 or $6 million off his deal. Then if you want to draft and start a rookie right tackle, I just worry about rookies sometimes starting.
Mark. I mean, I understand what you're saying about the rookies. I understand what you're saying, but I mean, this is actually a very strong draft if you're an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman coming into the 2019 NFL draft. But it's not just that though, because Brian Bulaga is suffering through the same thing that Josh Sitton and TJ Lang are suffering through back injuries, which means now they are on the back nine of their careers. And if you can get one more year out of Bulaga, then fine. But he also is having back issues, along with that torn ACL he had last year. And he's had those issues. But if you can get one more year out of him, that would be good. But you have to. But we also have to go into the other side of this depth chart, because Jason Spriggs has a colossal, colossal disappointment, and I would not be a bit surprised if the Packers send him packing sooner than March.
Why do it in March? I mean, I bring him to camp and see how he looks. I mean, but
okay.
Maybe the light bulb comes on. You never know. But I mean, I mean, if I can get something for him, I would trade him yesterday. But I mean, just to cut him. I mean, you know, I don't think there's 90 guys better than him. So bring him to camp, but I think he'll be among the cuts. I mean, hopefully they can get somebody better than him. Because that's what I started to say. You know, we went over to starters, but they need some depth on this offensive line as well.
That was a big problem. We talked about that.
I'm going to throw two names at you, at two guys that were on that are on the current roster. Really didn't play much, but let's start with Alex Light.
Alex Light, okay.
Tackle last year. They must like something about him. Now, we don't see practice every day. They do. He does something, because the Packers made a lot of personnel moves through the course of last season, cutting guys, putting some guys from the roster onto the practice squad, moving guys up. I mean, a lot of it was due to injury. Mm-hmm. Others were just moves that they wanted to make, bringing guys in and letting guys go. Well, they never touched Alex Light. They never even tried to cut him and put him on the practice squad, because they must have thought somebody else would sign him. So, unless I'm reading this wrong, the Packer coach, or now it's different coaches too, so that could be a difference, but somebody in the Packers likes Alex Light, right? Or he wouldn't have been on the roster the entire season. Who made the team, and never played. I think he played a couple snaps in the Lions game at the end of the year, maybe even the game prior to that. But I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know. I couldn't tell you if he's any good or not. All I'm telling you is the fact that he was on the roster the entire season tells me that somebody. Now, it might have been Mike McCarthy that loved him. Well, he's not here anymore. So if that was the case, then he might be gone. But he's a guy that I think they're going to look at, not as a starter, but as a good backup for depth. The other guy is a guy that they picked up during the middle of the year, and that's Nico Siragusa.
From the Baltimore Ravens. I love it that you brought this one up.
Now, he's a guy that I know a little bit about him. He was a pretty good player in college at San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
He was somewhat highly regarded at coming out of that draft. I was still running every day then. I remember that draft that he was in, and him being a name that I mentioned more than once or twice when I wrote about offensive linemen. He actually was a key lineman on that San Diego State team where Donnell Pumphrey, the little running back, set the NCAA record for rushing yards. And Siragusa was part of that offensive line. Now, he's been besieged with injuries. Mm-hmm. The Ravens drafted him early in the fourth round, so it's not like he's some afterthought. He was for a guard to go in the fourth round, that's pretty good. So, he's been hurt. He hasn't been able to stay healthy his first two years in the league. But he's a guy. I'm sure the Packers are going to take a very long look at him. In minicamp and. The OTAs, and then again in training camp. Now, could he be the starter at right guard? I'm not going to go that far, but I think he could be, like Lucas Patrick, a quality backup.
Yeah, I mean, there is talent on this depth chart, but we need to have more than this. And we talked about this back in August when the offensive line came out. The Packers were keeping 9 of them, but I actually looked at it and went maybe about 5, maybe 6 were, you know, legitimate, should be on an NFL roster. And the other ones, I kind of sat there and went, well, maybe the AAF might look at them coming up here, the Alliance of America Football League.
Like I said, I think they may sign a free agent.
Okay.
Guard if there's one that they like and they can come to a good, you know, a good deal with them. And I think they're going to draft, I want to draft one, like I said, either at the bottom of the first round or early second.
Do you have one in mind?
Not now. It's too early. I haven't looked that close yet.
I just want to make sure.
No, I mean,
I don't know what's going on over there at BobMcGinnFootball.com. So.
Nah, Bob probably knows where that is.
All right. This is the Pack a Day podcast.
We have plenty of time to talk about the who they're going to draft. But
yes.
Right now, I can tell you what I want. I don't know who yet. I mean, I want a pass rusher early. I want an offensive lineman. I want a tight end. But I'm not going to give you names just quite yet. But yeah, I think they'll draft at least two linemen. I think they'll draft one early, like I said, either bottom first or early second, and then draft another one like in the fourth or fifth round, you know.
Yeah, one of those intriguing ones that come out of nowhere, like Mike Wall or Marco Rivera, you know, one of those back in the day. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. TJ Lang.
Bakhtiari were all mid-round picks.
Huh?
Sitton, Lang, Bakhtiari were all, Lindsey, they were all like fourth, fifth round
picks. Yes, they were. And that was one of the keys.
That's why I say with Siragusa being a fourth round pick, I mean, you could get good interior linemen in the fourth round. I mean, that's usually where they go.
That's usually where you want to get your best offensive lineman. I mean, yes, you get those first rounders, but not all first rounders pan out as an offensive lineman. It's just not possible. This is the Pack a Day podcast, 24/7, 365 days a year. On iTunes, Spotify, hell with it. You can find us everywhere. I'm Jake Turner of PackersTalk.com alongside Mark Eckel, 32 years in the business, BobMcGinnFootball.com. Mark, to wrap this up here, I wanted to jump in just really briefly into the free agents. It was according to SportTrack.com. The following 6 right now are the top free agents coming up here. And I'm just going to start from 6 to 1. If you want to jump in, go ahead. I'm going to start with Ramon Foster for the Steelers, James Carpenter for the Jets, Roger Saffold for the Rams, Andy LaVitra for the Falcons, Mike Iupati for the Cardinals, and the one that everybody's going to be looking at, center guard Ryan Khalil. Of the 6, which one intrigues you the most that the Packers decide to get a free agent?
Saffold,
okay.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He would be, yeah, if of those, I mean, I like most of this. I mean, listen, I wouldn't argue with almost any. Iapati is great, but he's always hurt. He's been hurt. He's like, that's like telling, we're talking about Brian Belaga having injuries and, make, you know, on the back. I think you could say the same thing for Mike Iapati. I mean, great player. When he was healthy, when he, you know, one of the best. But now I'm not signing a guy who's, Packers have enough injury problems of their own without adding a guy who's already been, who has injury problems. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I would throw him out just because of that. Khalil probably isn't going to come. I can't imagine they're going to let him go. Southwell would be the one I would, of the six you mentioned, he would be the one I would key on.
Yeah, Mark, the Panthers would make a crucial mistake because that's the anchor of their offensive line, and it will be shoddy going forward. That's the one that keeps the glue together in Carolina. I like the Iapati one, but the one that really intrigues me the most is because he comes off this good offensive line, Andy LaVitra. Andy LaVitra has been stout ever since he was at Buffalo. He comes back down to Atlanta, and let's be honest, Atlanta was they were such an overrated team coming into this year. But the last couple of years with that offensive line, with the way that they were structured coaching-wise, they had a very stout offensive line. Andy LaVitra was one of those true reasons that they were so good at that guard spot, and he was able to open up those holes with center Alex Mack, where Devontae Freeman and Coleman as well. So, I mean, I think that would be a very intriguing one because he has such versatility and he's quick off the snap. That's my guy right there.
Okay, I wouldn't be opposed to him at all, but Saffold I kind of like just a little better. But that's, you know, again, it's, listen, anything would, Packers need a good, I mean, I'll take either one. How's that?
Well, no, I understand. I mean, what he did to that Cowboys defensive line on last Saturday was unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, Saffold and Whitworth, they were like a two-man wrecking crew. Yep. It's crazy. So let's talk about, so we got our free agents down now. I want to go back to this depth chart for a moment. Of the four that I'm about to read off to you, which one do you believe might not make it into camp? Jason Spriggs, Justin McCray, Nico Siragusa, or Adam Pankey?
I think they all go to camp.
Okay, why is that?
I mean, they're all signed, right?
Yeah, to those minimum contracts, yes.
Whatever, yeah, but they're under contract.
Spriggs is the one that got paid the second round money, though.
Yeah. I mean, why would you, again, like I said earlier, what do you stand to gain by getting rid of a guy in April or May? I mean, bring him to camp. I mean, who knows?
Okay.
I'm not saying they're going to make it to September, but I'm saying you bring him into camp, bring him to the mini camps, bring him, I mean, you bring 90 guys into camp.
Mm-hmm.
So why not bring these? I mean, again, if you could trade one of them and get something, I'm all for that. But, I mean, why not bring those guys in? Who are the 40s? It's Briggs, Pankey, McCray, and who else?
Siragusa.
Oh, Siragusa. I just told you how
no,
much I
yeah,
love him.
I know.
I'm definitely bringing him in.
Hey, it was kind of like that, kind of like one of those ones that you, like, throw away. When it comes to doing a poll online, it's just one of those throwaway ones. That's how I was looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, I bring everybody to camp. I mean, why not? It doesn't call. I mean, unless you find it, you know, you drafted a bunch of guys and you added some other, and there's no room for them, maybe. But, you know, there's one other name that we haven't mentioned.
Okay.
I think it's worth bringing up because who knows? Nobody knows what's going on with this young man.
Cole Madison.
Cole Madison.
Yeah.
He was I'll go as far. I'll go on the limb here a little bit. I think he would have been the starting right guard by the end of the season had he been there. He had if you remember, people were raving about him at minicamp and through the OTAs. I mean, again, it's a big difference from OTAs and minicamp than it is to training camp in a regular season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he did a good, I mean, he looked like a promising young talent. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reasons, he decided he wasn't going to play. Now, if he still feels that way, then all bets are off and he gets on with his life. But the Packers still have him under rights. If he decides whatever issues or whatever he was dealing with is now over and he wants to play again, I think they bring him in and give him a long look again.
All right, final question before we say goodbye here on Pack a Day. In one word, describe the Packers offensive line of 2018.
In 2018.
Yes.
Inconsistent.
Okay. Why was that?
You said one word. I give you one word. I mean, because they had some good games. They had some. I mean, there were games where they played well. There was games where they were a disaster. They have a couple, like I said, outstanding players in back Diari and Lindsay, and a couple guys that shouldn't have been out there, like, you know, Bell and McRae. Brian Bulaga was, you know, when he's healthy, he's good, but he wasn't healthy for, you know, half the year. So I think inconsistent, you know, I think since he held me to one word, I think inconsistent was a good one.
What would be a good word for the Packers offensive line in 2019? One word.
Improved.
Improved. Okay, can you explain that one, or is that all you're going to give me?
Well, again, you asked them, improve. They got if they need to improve their offensive line, especially the right side of it, and whether it's through the draft or free agency, or a guy like a Nico Siragusa becoming the player that the Ravens thought he was going to be when they drafted him in the fourth round. But they have to get better. They have to improve the offensive line in 2019 for the team to do better.
All right. So for my word for 2018, I would say mediocre. And then for 2019, I'm just going to go three words on this, to heck with it. I'm just going to say, show me something. Show me something. I want to see what this new offense, this whole new coaching staff, are we going to see some changes, or is it going to be deja vu for Packer fans going forward? But like I said, I've been quite up. I went from fine to optimistic to kind of excited by some of the hires that Matt LaFleur has made so far, keeping Mike Pettine, firing Frank Zignetti, hiring Nathaniel Hackett, who will finally have a legitimate quarterback for the first time in his career. And also kind of interesting that he's the same age as LaFleur as well. But Mark, this is going to be probably one of the biggest off seasons for the Packers going forward. It's going to be really topsy-turvy. It's going to be crazy. Sometimes we're going to feel like we're in a dream world. We're in inception time right now going forward with this. And then when free agency time comes along, it's going to get very interesting.
Oh, this will be one of the more fun and interesting and busy and whatever word you want to use to describe this Packer offseason. It already has been with the new coach and the new coaching staff. But, this isn't the old Packers who didn't play when free, you know, kind of sat out the free agency market. They're going to be, I think they're going to be very involved. You have two first round draft picks for the first time in, they traded in the 1 year, they traded back into the first round when they got Clay Matthews. But to go into the draft with two first round picks, it's been a long time since they've had that. It's going to be a fun, interesting next couple months for Packer fans and the Packers themselves.
Well, until then, enjoy the championship games. We've got a couple good ones coming up here, and I couldn't think of anybody better to do Packers offseason talk than you, Mark. So thanks once again, and we'll talk again.
And we'll do it again. We'll do it again, for sure. All right, Jake, take care.
All right, Packer fans, that's, of course, Mark Eckel, 32 years in the business from BobMcGinnFootball.com. If you have not subscribed, I take advantage of it. This is the source for Packers writing because McGinn goes beyond the helmet. He goes beyond the field, and he will be able to get you the information that you need. So go to www.bobmcginnfootball.com, or if you want to look at some outside-the-box conversation, go to packerstalk.com. Al Bracco has done a terrific job giving me this opportunity, keeping me on for the offseason, and we're just really excited at Packers Talk to continue this. So please go to packerstalk.com or bobmcginnfootball.com for your two biggest sources of Packer conversation. Well, this conversation is over, and that end of the year review of offensive line has come to a close. The three greatest words in the dictionary of the Green Bay Packers is, of course, go Pack go. For Mark Eckel, I'm Jake Turner, and enjoy championship weekend, and we'll talk to you next time, Packer backers, right here on the Pack-A-Day podcast.
Shit to Wild.
Oh, yes! Taken by Jackson in the end zone for a touchdown.
It was grabbed by Geronimo Allison.
Josh Jackson, the rookie, recovers in the end zone in a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stands. The Packers have a 6-0 lead.
Beathard on third down and three in the shotgun. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Beathard looking, hit as he throws it, deep down the right sidelines, and intercepted on the play. Spectacular! looking right. Throws the right side. St. Brown makes the tackle. Nice reach. Oh, he reached back to gather it in, using all 6'5 of his frame. Tumble out of bounds. Inside the 30 of the 28-yard line. Hunter Bradley the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee. Arm extended. Here it is. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good. One week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. Third and five, 13-yard line of Atlanta. Snap, Ryan, looks right, throws right side. Intercepted to the house, Bishop Freeland. Touchdown, Green Bay Packers. 19-yard interception return, and it's 16-7 Packers. Rodgers looks it over. Takes the snap. Blitz on. They pick it up. Lost
they
the right side.
They got him.
10-5. Touchdown. Touchdown. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. 40 yards. Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks it under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff up the middle. Big hole. Straight ahead. It is Aaron Jones. Off to the races. To the 20. To the 15. To the 10. Down the left sidelines. And he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a burst, 67 yards. Third and six, trailing 30-23, 2 minutes straight up to go in the game. San Francisco showing a blitz through the A gap, and here they come. Rodgers looking, throws left side of the end zone.
Yes!
Touchdown!
Yes!
Devontae Adams, left corner of the end zone from Aaron Rodgers. 16-yard touchdown pass. The Packers an extra point away from getting this game tied.